Closing out today's program, Jan Hawken and David Hall are in our studio to discuss a project that David developed called Native Perspectives on Sustainability.
Welcome to KBOO this morning, David Hall.
Thanks for having me.
Last Monday, August 9th, was the International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples, a UN project that came out of a massive grassroots global movement to include the voices of Indigenous peoples on rethinking sustainability and what it means for human life on Earth and the broader web of life that inhabits this planet. Could you tell us to start with something about your project, Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Voices from the Salmon Nation, and how that relates to the broader vision of International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples?
Yes, well, my project very much continues in the tradition that was established formally by the United Nations when they declared August 9th annually as the Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples. And that's, I think, a offshoot of the era of self-determination that was established pretty much in the 70s. And that was a shift in federal policy in the United States and a larger global awareness of the importance of preserving and honoring Indigenous peoples, and the recognition that the social injustices and the ecological crises are, the burdens of those are borne most heavily upon Indigenous peoples. And while we have a very clever modern economic paradigm and system, it's not a very wise one. And it's important to establish a two-way street of cultural exchange, and that the modern Western world has a lot to learn by including Indigenous peoples and their voices in the conversations about sustainability and where we are today.
So it's both an issue of the human rights issue and a social justice issue, but also includes this notion that we have a lot to learn from Indigenous practices around the world and their histories, including how they're responding to these very acute crises, environmental crises of a quite wide range of sorts.
Yes. So my project, Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Voices from Salmon Nation, was initially my dissertation research. And it was pursued in the tradition of social action research, where the goal is not just to explain a phenomenon, but to actively promote social change. And I had a recognition that the issues of climate change and the extinction of species, extinction of cultures and languages are interconnected, and that they're symptoms of a way of life that's propagated by the industrial mode of economic expansionism, and that's fundamentally unsustainable. And it's exciting in the last 10 years in particular, you know, a lot more people are involved in the conversation on sustainability. Unfortunately, the use of the term has lost a lot of its meaning. It's used by anybody and everybody to apply to anything and everything, pretty much. Yeah.
So what meanings emerged from your research and in interviewing quite a range of leaders, and perhaps you could also begin by saying what the Salmon Nation encompasses.
Right. So Salmon Nation refers to the bioregion defined by the Pacific salmon runs of North America. There are salmon in on the Asian continent as well, but my focus has been in North America. So I conducted a series of interviews with Indigenous leaders throughout the region, from Alaska and British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and Northern California, seeking to get a better sense about the deep meaning of sustainability as a term, and to reclaim that term and infuse it with greater meaning. So if we're going to use it, we understand it in a broader, more meaningful sense than it is broadly used. So in doing those interviews, I mean, it's hard to offer a soundbite that says this is what it's about. I created a synthesis that's essentially the results of that project that takes the various perspectives from the different Indigenous leaders and scripted it into a narrative summary that speaks to the meaning of sustainability, articulates a hopeful vision for the future, and outlines a series of actions and strategies and principles that we can follow to bring about such a future.
Okay. So can you tell us something of what you concluded?
Well, I think probably the best thing I can do is read an excerpt of that narrative, and I'd like to read two, the first being from the section on the meaning of sustainability. The true meaning of sustainability is not theoretical, it's practical. There are clear implications for what to do and what not to do. Our traditional laws, ceremonies, and teachings are all about giving guidance to appropriate ways of living and interacting with the landscape and as a community to ensure that our behaviors are not a danger to ourselves, all else around us, and the generations to come. Maintaining and sustaining the fullness of health needed for us and everything else to thrive is our responsibility, and that is what our intelligence, creativity, and the gift of being human is about. If we cannot measure up to that, and we cannot live up to that, we're not needed here, and we won't be here. Alternatively, we can accept responsibility to live in balance with natural law by looking after the land that provides for our needs and by not abusing the gifts of the Creator.
And there's another kind of summary statement that emerged from your research, kind of a collective voice on how we get there. It relates to activism. Can you offer us something in that area?
Yeah, so I'll share a small piece from that too. And again, these are small excerpts of a much larger narrative. So from the How We Get There section, the call to action is to serve as leaders in preserving and restoring our cultures and ecology. We must build awareness and understanding to engage all citizens of the planet in working together and redesigning our future. While the challenges are immense, we are hopeful. Inherent in us, a gift of our ancestral roots, is the link with the larger living life force that connects us with all else. That gift is the source of our potential as humans to be active and careful, creative and discerning, strong and loving, intelligent and humble, respectful and grateful. Gifted with this potential, our purpose is to continuously maintain ourselves and all our relations in harmony and balance with natural law. The extent to which our cultures serve this purpose is the extent to which they are ultimately worthy of being passed along to future generations.
Part of this vision is centers on redefining what growth means, or our material relation to the world and progress itself. Can you comment on that? And perhaps we'll also be able to hear a voice from one of the participants in your project.
Yeah, that definitely is one of the themes. So we're going to hear an audio clip from one of the interviews, and another one of the clips that we've produced that are available online, and people can find them by Google searching Native Perspectives or going to nativeperspectives.net, is actually entitled Redefining Wealth. And I think that is a core theme of reestablishing what it means to be wealthy and healthy and being a vibrant species on the planet.
And the notion of progress itself, how we measure progress.
Correct. And this piece that we're going to listen to is of Jeanette Armstrong, and I've titled it A Vision Manifesting, and taking her words here, and it really speaks to the movement that's underway, and as I spoke to the era of self-determination that we're in, and the fact that this is happening in terms of Indigenous communities reaching back to their ancestral roots and reclaiming their cultures and redefining them in a modern context, and in doing so, scripting a better life for themselves.
My hope is that the work that so many of our people are engaged in now to restore some of these practices, to incorporate our knowledge and to recover the knowledge and philosophy and the ethics in a contemporary life way, that makes sense and that restores the stewardship, restores the community, restores the bonding that we have with our land that had been severed for many years. My vision in terms of that happening is already unfolding, is already happening through the work we do at an Elkin Center, and now in our communities, so many of our young people are understanding that this is knowledge and this is valuable, and these practices have worth and value far beyond economics and, you know, that our very lives depend on it, and the sustainability of our community and the health of our succeeding generations and our current generations depends on us being able to manifest them in terms of practice. And so many of our young people and so many of our adult learners are coming back to that because it's natural to them, and there's an understanding and a feeling that they know and that they're familiar with, that this is right, this is the way. And it creates celebration, it creates great pride, and it creates mobility and movement. And of course, the other parts are still there, the dysfunction and the unwellness that I spoke about. But we're moving toward that the completion of bringing back the wholeness of our community, and we will survive. We were meant to survive. It's our imperative and our commandment to be sealed.
One of the key concepts in the in your project and Native American perspectives on sustainability is this notion of active stewardship. And of course, that's also a buzz term that gets taken up and associated with, I think, a history of missionary interventions and notions of human dominance over nature. How do you understand stewardship through your research in these indigenous leaders and how they're approaching the meaning of that term?
Well, I use the term active stewardship to capture the idea that humans are not inherently a problem. And in fact, we are vital to solutions, especially for the problems that we've created. So this is not to say that we're not responsible, but we have the ability and we have a history of actually promoting ecological health as well as deterioration. So we bear that potential to be both destructive and constructive and creative and nurturing as a species. And so the idea here is to embrace that possibility of ourselves as being true stewards that can contribute to ecological diversity and density and really create human communities that work for people as well. And I like this notion because it has the potential to bridge a rift that exists between the modern environmental movement and business interests, where the modern environmental movement largely has adopted the perspective and the assumption that humans are the problem and need to be removed from nature. And that's insensitive to the fact that that what we call nature is something that humans have always been a part of and are inherently a part of. And indigenous people have been displaced from their homelands in the name of preservation and conservation, even though they've inhabited those regions for millennia. And clearly we're capable of maintaining the health of those places. And so it's a potential bridge in a recognition that we can be an active participant on the landscape and we don't need to remove ourselves. But in being active and being stewards, it requires a very intimate knowledge and it requires intentionality and awareness of the effects of our actions, both on local context and the larger whole of the planet that we inhabit.
But at the same time, this also involves or requires forms of resistance as well as recovering memory and traditions that are so easily lost, just as aspects of the ecology are lost. And that's perhaps something to return to on the show, is the role of resistance to global economic forces that are pretty powerful and ravage communities and parts of the ecosystem. But you're saying that it's also important to find inspiring and sustaining practices and to build on the best in our human traditions and legacies, as well as focusing on the destructiveness of what we confront. Can you tell us where to find more about the project as we close today?
Yeah, well, first I would like to say that I think that the resistance movement needs that element of hope, and you can fight the world, but that's hard. And so that you need to have the hopeful, constructive actions and ways of thinking to really sustain even a resistance movement. And so if people are interested in this project and learning more about Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Voices from Salmon Nation, they can find it at nativeperspectives.net or simply Google searching Native Perspectives.
Thank you so much, David Hall, for being with us here today. This is Jan Hawken talking with David Hall on Native Perspectives on Sustainability, Voices from Salmon Nation.